morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive, and this is the birth of a country, the celebration of the birthday of our country, July 4th. And I have with me one of the people that I really believe is a patriot. He's a scholar. He knows the Constitution. And he's just an all-around good guy. He represents us in the state Senate. His name is Senator. His first name is Senator. And his middle name is Paul, and his last name is Mark. You can drop the senator when you see him. But I am so happy that he's on today because I think I've been interviewing Paul a long time, and we have wonderful discussions about both of our dreams for this country and the people in it. And I'm just happy to have him on. So without further ado, for Gois, soup du jour, I would like to introduce Senator Paul Mark. Senator, how are you this morning?
Happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day to you, my good friend. So how's things up in Peru?
So things in the district are going well. It's been really busy, which I know isn't a surprise to anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, things all in all are going amazing. And actually July 4th is my 6 months in.
Wow. Well, we'll have to send them. I will eat a birthday cake for you. The kind of guy I am. You know, a lot of your friends won't do that for you. The budget process, how are we doing with that?
So the budget process, as we're discussing, is still in what they call the conference committee mode. Yeah, so the House passed their budget in April, the Senate passed our version of the budget in May. And just to like put it in a little bit of context, the fiscal year starts July 1st, and normally the governor files their version of the budget last week of January, but because Governor Healey's new, she had an extra 6 weeks to kind of get things in line and get her feet under and all of that. So the budget came to us a little later than normal. And then as we watch how revenue expectations meet where we thought they were gonna or don't meet where we thought they were gonna, in the month of April, all of a sudden there was like this drop off. There was this unexpected, at least by rank and file members of the Senate, there was a drop off that none of us were looking expecting.
Right.
And then we heard from the governor, from the chair Ways and Means, that no, this is okay. We were kind of expecting something to happen. And then we watched in May things bounced back to normal, which everyone was happy with. So we're at the point right now that it'll probably be another week or two. And I think the holdup is really just watching and waiting to see how the June numbers come out, because we've talked about this before, in Massachusetts, the budget has to be balanced. So what we want to do is we want to make sure with the new fiscal year going forward that we're on track, we're where we think we're going to be, and no one wants to make mid-year cuts. Mid-year cuts are horrible. So you want to, you want to have reasonable expectations, like usually set the expectations low. And then if you get lucky, things come in better than expected and all of that. But like I've been in there a year where there were cuts back in like my first term when Governor Patrick was in office and he had to do these mid-year cuts. And that is just, you know, your agency has their budget running, and then all of a sudden something changes and it can be a major problem. So I think we're in good shape. And then we pass a month at a time budget. So on July 1st, nothing changed. We have a functioning government. Our government continues to run. We don't do showdowns. We didn't with Governor Baker as a Republican either. We have things funded through July. If we need to fund them into August, we will. But I feel pretty good that the budget will wrap up this month.
Oh, that's great. I'd like to just put in, if I may, and you know, I very rarely do this, but I would ask for your support for the school lunch issue.
Yes.
I just feel very, being at the old Taconic and watching many of the kiddos come in after the weekend and I mean run to the cafeteria, was pretty, you didn't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure a lot of these kids hadn't eaten a lot over the weekend.
Yeah. We've seen that. I think up in Drury High School, the statistic is pretty close to 50%, if not more. Of the kids there qualify, and you know, I've talked about it myself. When I was a kid, there were times we
Well, that's why qualified. Yes, and I will tell you, it's terrible. It probably or difficult. I don't want to say terrible. As difficult as it was going through it, you know, it's okay to have difficulty as long as you learn from it. And obviously, and I was just talking with someone the other day, and they were saying what they admired about you was you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You had rough times. And you haven't forgotten those now that you're in biz.
Exactly. And it was funny that my parents knew to name me senator, though. That was yeah. very prophetic
yeah.
of them.
Yeah, well, you know, that is your first name now. Like it or not.
But no, I appreciate that someone said that. And I appreciate that someone has heard me talk about these things. Because when we talk about like the school lunch specifically, I like to say, when I was a kid, they gave you like this special card. And if you didn't want people to make fun of you, you didn't go up and get lunch. You just pretended you already ate or something.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of us. And with it just universally available, hopefully it takes that stigma away. And like you said, we learned a lot of lessons. And, you know, it's just making sure no one feels like they're not as good as everyone else is what I care about, you know.
And don't mess with
kids, especially kids. Food. I mean, exactly. Right. It helps them learn. It helps them have a better educational experience, have a better day. They're less likely to get in trouble or have fights or anything like that. And, you know, there's no kid that it's their fault. So no matter what is going on at home, we want these kids to be successful. We want these kids to get past these things. And so, I was very pleased the House did include the universal meals. The Senate did not. And it's something I have been advocating for that it should be included in the final budget.
I'm sorry. That's just one of the things, you know, my background working with violent youthful offenders and working with youthful offenders. I mean, my thing is more times than I'd like to remember, the kid would say, or the inmate or the offender or the detainee would say, well, I went to bed hungry, you know, and I was fortunate growing up. I didn't have that, but I applaud you for doing it. You're a good man when it comes to that, and I will support you 100%. You know that. With that mission, but you know the state is, you know, they're really I like kind of like the new governor. You know she, you know it's always a new. Whenever there's a new administration, you got to let it work its way out, and I think some people have been kind of critical, but I mean, bottom line, dudes. It's 6 months, and you know you walk into that office and you think, well, I have a plan, and you find out, well, that's good, but you got to go through A, B, C, and D, you know.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And she had been the attorney general and had statewide experience, but yeah, it is different, especially the governor. I mean, you're it. You're the end of the line, so any question, people are coming to you, and everything that happens, people look to you. And I think of, with COVID, just what Governor Baker, how he had to pivot and shift his final 3 years. You know, you just don't know what's going to come up. And so I think she's been doing a good job. She's been appointing good people into good positions.
Yeah.
And I heard a funny story. I think you'll appreciate this. Actually, I went to the city of Gardner. There's a gentleman running for the Senate out there in a special election. And just in the crowd, I met a guy that used to be in the House with me, and he was a Republican. Now he's an independent, and he's I don't know if the word is the commissioner, but he's like the overseer of the veterans cemeteries out in Central Mass.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And he was telling me, you know, he voted for her, but he didn't know. And then when he met her at I think Memorial Day, he said she asked him, you know, what do you think is appropriate when someone comes here? And his name's Rich, the guy. Rich tells her, well, what's really good is there's some veterans that people don't visit because they've been gone a long while or they didn't have family. And so it's really meaningful when someone makes a visit to a grave that they don't know. And so the governor says to him, do you have someone I should visit? And he told her, she walked over to it, no press, no attention, no spotlight, none of that. And he said, she was there like a good 10 minutes, like paying respects, asked me a bunch of questions. And it meant a lot to him. And this guy, gentleman, also a veteran. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I said, she seems to really care about her role and her responsibility. So, you know, pretty impressive.
Yeah. And that's what I'm reading from her.
Yeah.
I only read the Boston Globe, you know, and I sense that her heart is in the right place. And I just hope she gets the good. And from what I understand from you and others, she's really made some wonderful choices.
Yeah, I think so. The Senator Ann Gobey became the first rural affairs director.
Yeah.
And she was a great pick. And we've already had her out to the Berkshires and had her do some meetings just last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So somebody said to me, hey, why don't you run for mayor? I looked at him and said, are you nuts? I'm 76 years old. I run from things, not for things. And I don't run at all. Paul, I would love your assessment of the times we're in. I'm an old man, and I understand that, but I'm having real difficulties trying to understand what's happening. Let me just give you an example. I met a beautiful lady yesterday, and it's really a legislative job. Her daughter was cyberbullied to the point of real danger for the daughter. And, you know, technology's wonderful. Oh, you would know, you live in Peru, but there's technology other places. No, I'm only kidding you. But we have to start looking at creating new laws to meet the technology.
Yeah, I think that's very true. There's a woman in my office, Gita. She comes from a tech background. Her husband's like one of the deans at MIT. Like she's very knowledgeable. She's very smart. And she is constantly talking about this AI, this artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I can see it can benefit people with some really menial stuff. Like I was thinking the other day, boy, it'd be nice to have something that like went through your emails and summarized it. And then not the personal emails, but we get a lot of like form stuff it's like it'd be nice to see like, this organization in Longmeadow is letting you know this, like things out of the district. And like I could see a benefit to that, but what you're saying is also right. Like there's a danger that it could be programmed to add to like cyberbullying or to add to whatever people were afraid of in the elections and all of that kind of thing. And just keeping an eye on it and understanding, yes, technology is constantly changed, and every time technology changes, society does change with it, and just being aware of what that's going to look like. And even like data privacy is another place. So there's a place where you want bullying.
Yeah.
If someone can find out like maybe things you're buying, just we're talking about like the free lunch that people are embarrassed about. Just maybe there's a medicine you're receiving that you don't want people to know you're on. And if somehow digitally your information is compromised, and that gets out there, I mean, that can be a major problem. It can be a source of like major headaches.
Yeah.
And so having the tools, I think there's some things we can do at the state level. I know there's a couple of data privacy bills floating around out there right now. With the AI, I don't know enough about it yet to know where to go, but I think there needs to be some kind of protections for whether it's bullying.
Yeah. Talk to
whether you. It's this technology, it's one of those things where in Massachusetts is it, yeah.
Yeah.
It drives our economy. Like it can be a tough balance.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, the Congress is looking into, the United States Congress is looking into AI. And I'm thinking I would rather have the state legislature and the brain trust in Boston, starting at Harvard and MIT and all these, because, I mean, let's take advantage of the geniuses we have.
Right.
You know, when I go to get my car fixed, I go to a certain place. because I trust them. I know them, and they've always been good to me.
Right.
And but this touched my heart, because this lady's a wonderful lady, beautiful lady, and her daughter was so cyberbullied, you know. And how do you do that? How do you fix that? And one of the things that I think is the legislature should sit down and look at the various kinds of cyberbullying, various kinds of online stuff, and then try to use the brain trust in Boston to make legislation.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, because there is so many world-class institutions that we could ask for reports, we could ask for suggestions, and that is a good idea. And there's actually a committee on cybersecurity, advanced technology, and 5G and the internet. And I think that's a good place for them to start digging in and kind of take a bigger look. And I am a member of that committee, so I'll make a suggestion to the chairs.
Well, you're not going to believe this. That's why I brought it up, because you've been connected with broadband, low band, high band, no band, rubber band for a long time, and we have to play, and it's catch up. It truly is catch up, because the internet's been around for a long time now, and the evil ones have found a way to use it.
Oh yeah, no, they talk about, like, the bots, I think they call them on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking through now as you're talking, like, this opportunity for some kind of an AI to be like trying to meet up with people, you know, just weird stuff that we don't want to think about. But yeah, I can see some negative, really negative implications, and making sure that we're ahead of it is probably really smart.
Yeah, and you know, it's take this as a compliment, please. It's got to be people of your age and younger, because putting me in front of a Zoom computer is mechanical now, because I spent hours learning how to do it. But if you say, well, go, I got all these things on the side, they say, what'd this one say? It's got W, it's got Prez, it's got Fresh, it's got this. I don't touch those, because I have no idea what'll happen. So, but it we really got to get our arms around that, and it's guys and gals like you that are going to make it happen, not me.
Right, and there's so much that I don't understand either. It's changing so quickly is, I think, one of the problems. Like, even in an academic setting, the way people can write papers, it's I've been hearing it. Like, I think, you know, I teach a class on government at MCLA once in a while. Yeah, and it actually just wrapped up. And other,
I don't get
other
it wrap up. They moved out.
Right.
I walked through there the other day. I said, "Where's it?" And they said they left.
Oh, did they see that? It was online, this class. Are they closing down that center?
Yeah, it's the old fire station.
Oh, I didn't realize they had actually made that announcement. Okay.
Oh, they didn't. I don't know if they did or not. All I'm telling you is I went in there and everything was gone. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I went in there looking at this unofficially, not for profit or not for public consumption, even though we're publicly talking. I was looking at it with someone else for space issues.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is, because I'll tell you, it was a benefit to a lot of people.
Oh yeah, it was so convenient. And then there's a good to some of the online classes. Like, it's also convenient. It can work around schedules. And then, but there's also something lost. Like, it really depends on the class. Because some classes you get a much better experience.
Yeah,
you know, being in person. So
I taught an Ollie class with a Dr. Francesca Spina on our book, a shameless commercial here. Think Like a Terrorist to combat terrorism and radicalization in prison. And we did it via Zoom, and I didn't care for it. You know? It's just not like being in the room and seeing expressions and seeing, well, you don't understand, or, you know.
Right. It's much harder to get, I think, like, questions and build on like a discussion. For the most part, I had one class. It was constitutional law online. This is in the height of the pandemic, and it went really well, but it was like 12 students, so you could kind of, yeah, you could have some back and forth. But yeah, for the most part, I think you're right.
So we have a lot of money in the coffers, in the state coffers, and whenever we seem to have, let me recant this. Congratulations to the legislature, to Governor Baker, and to everybody. And now it is to kind of stay the course because we don't know what the future is going to bring.
Yep.
You know, and I think congratulations to all of you that you had this buffer when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you think that's going to be a problem, you know, where some people just want to, you know, put moonbeams in every house, or I don't know.
I think you got a combination of, you want to make sure there's a significant buffer, and I believe it's the highest in history right now.
Yeah.
There's actually a limit. We can only save so much. Like, it can only be a certain percent of the total state budget is all we're allowed to hold on to. So we're actually kind of getting to that cap, and I think that's one of the reasons there was like there's a tax cut bill that's working its way through the House and the Senate, passed different versions. The Senate version's more on credits and raising the estate tax a bit to just kind of reflect how inflation has been different. And yeah, I don't think there's I know what you're trying to say, that there's just like, well, we just got to spend it, so it doesn't matter how dumb it is. Let's just get out there. I think it's a better approach where we're trying to make sure that the amounts we invest can be sustainable, that they're not going to go away. And just like the rural school aid is where I'll go with this. There was a report that there's probably a need of like 45 to 60 million statewide. Yeah. And we, I think last year got it up to about 6 million. And this year it looks like 15. So like it's almost been tripled.
Wow.
And that's great, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's significant progress. And then a couple of people asked me, "Well, you're sitting on $7 billion. Why not just go all the way to 60?" And the answer is well, what if next year we're not, and then we have to cut it? So once schools start to receive it and get used to it, if we take it away, it's going to be a problem. So I think 15 is good now, and then hopefully next year we'll double it. Maybe we'll get up to 30, and then we just continue on that course. And then as that Student Opportunity Act is also phasing in over the next couple of years, which is intended to fully fund educational services throughout the entire state.
Yeah.
But it's right on track with what you're saying, is you have a penny right now. If you spend it, you're not going to have it tomorrow. So you got to balance that out, because you never know what's around the corner.
And I found in my time in government too, incremental adjustments are rather than lump adjustments are better. That's just my opinion.
It allows a phase in, which usually I think helps more.
Yes. Everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Tyre and the Mayor's Office, Peter Marchetti and the City Council, and or Paul Mark and the Senate of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The entire Senate. That's been my experience. If you get just a huge amount of money, and everybody's spending it, in my opinion, foolishly in many cases. Where if you get an incremental piece, then you channel that incremental piece to the areas that you wanted it to go and needed it. That's just been my experience.
Yeah. In the phone company, I remember there was like budgeting, and I remember talk of you would tear down a wall and put it somewhere else and paint it, and someone would say, "Why?" Because if I don't, then they're going to cut my budget. So like,
there you go.
Yeah. Just spending for the sake of spending isn't generally the right move, especially with money that's coming from all the people of our state. You know, you want to be a little more judicious, I think, than that.
Well, you're exactly right. And the other piece too is, I mean, I can remember being in the military when they're saying, we're going out on maneuvers. I said, when did this come up? I hate sleeping out in the rain. you know? And they said, oh, well, we got to spend this money before the end of the fiscal year. What? See, that's where government, and I think Massachusetts has probably been another leader in this, correct me if I'm wrong, and that is they don't punish people for not spending their whole budget by cutting.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the sheriff is actually a really great example of that, that he takes a lot of pride in not asking for increases, and it probably comes from his background and his mentality. But I think many in state government have that same feeling, that same approach, that, you know, this isn't found money. This is money that's coming out of everybody's pockets, and so we're gonna do the right thing with it as much as possible, you know.
Yeah, well, I just applaud again the state, and you know, I don't know if you've been, I don't want to drag you into it, but watched any of the budget hearings. No, you probably haven't, because you're a smart guy. I've watched most of them, and I must say, the unprofessional rancor and disrespect of some of the counselors towards department heads and even the mayor, I just find unconscionable. You know, nothing gets done when people are nasty.
Yeah, that's, thankfully I haven't seen it, but yeah, that is, as a general rule, that is true, that cooperation gets you further.
Yeah, and compromise. One last thing, Paul, then I will get back to. Don't keep saying, I'm doing this for the taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer. When you're cutting the fire department, you're not helping me, you know?
Right.
It's bottom line. You know, I'm an old man. I could go down tomorrow, and I know within 3 minutes, engine six will be at my front door with EMTs.
Right.
And that's how I look at stuff. How does it benefit me? So what has been your challenges going from the House to the Senate?
The biggest challenge has been the size of the district, and even with now Rural Affairs Director Gobi, like, I wanted her to see a lot of stuff, and it's a day, we made five stops, and it's towns from Huntington to North Adams to Lenox, and that is a long day, and you know, she's right, and she's gonna have to come back. But like, I wanted her to be able to break that ice and make the introduction to as many people as possible. Sure. And you don't want to leave anyone else. So like, we did some stuff in the hill towns. We did some stuff out of the county, because I have 25 towns out of the county. And then, we're driving her up to North Adams and then all the way down to Lenox. And it was one of those days where it was pouring out. And so everything gets off schedule and it's like a half hour behind. So just the logistics of keeping track of that. And someone said to me, a former colleague in the House, they've been a little wise, like, well, you all still just have 170,000 people. And it's like, yes, we all have 170,000 people, but no one else has 57 town administrators and city managers and mayors and all that. It's like, so yes, it's the same number of people. It's just the ability to get to them. And if you're in Worcester, well, the complaints all go first to the city council and to the mayor and to the city manager and all that. And then there's a team working with you. When you're dealing with like Savoy, where they have difficulty finding anybody to serve on boards.
Right.
It's a different process. So you have 57 different focuses as opposed to like three. So That's been a lot. Keeping up with the email has been a lot, because I try to answer my own emails, and I think generally in the House I could get back to everybody within, you know, maybe 48 hours. Sometimes now I find it's like, if it's something important and I need to forward it along to staff, I do.
Right.
If it's something like it's timely, but like generally, I think I'm generally good at still the 48 hours thing, but it's a little tougher though.
Paul, I mean, I would have said to that person, yes, but in Boston, in one borough of Boston, say, or let's say the greater George Dorchester area, there are not many people. So,
I made a joke back to him about using Uber to get from the bar to home, which isn't a luxury for us, which was received pretty well.
the change is, that when you go there, you go from a big group to a very select group. You get to know each other more intimately, don't you think?
Oh yeah, that's a benefit,
Oh
is you
yeah.
get to know people better. Yeah, and it feels like you have more of a voice. Like people, well, I'm on the conference committee for the Chapter 90 road funding, and for people to understand what that is, when the House passes a version of something and the Senate passes a different version, the House appoints three people and the Senate appoints three people, and those six people kind of work out the differences. And so in my first 6 months, I'm on the road funding bill, which is, big for our area, because the
Sure.
thing I'm fighting for is the rural money, is to make sure we get the money out to our area.
Yeah.
And you don't get that in a first term in the House, and I wasn't on one in 6 terms in the House. It's just not how it works over there. So like that is definitely an advantage. Like I feel more people want to get me in the game, which is great, which is what
Yeah.
I've been looking for, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have to applaud you and in the delegation, but you have spearheaded rural transportation for schools, rural funding for schools, school funding. And without you, this delegate, and I said this yesterday to somebody, without the delegation we have in Boston right now, we would not be at the forefront of things and getting the funding we're getting. And I truly believe that. Barrett's forgot more about politics and in a positive sense, being a mayor, knowing all the problems mayors face. And then you have Smitty, who's senior. You have you, who's senior in Boston, and Trish. I just think I can't say enough good about the delegation. I really can't. I mean, do I agree with everything every one of the delegation brings up? Kind of, no, but I'm not there. I don't see all the facts. I know I'm looking at it through Bill's eyes. And I try to tell people that through the show and various things that I do, we're looking at it through what's in it for me. And they're looking at it, what's in it for everybody.
Yeah, it's a lot to delicate to balance so many
Yeah.
diverse items. There's so many levels and so many layers to just like every bill we get. And then just for me, I have a microcosm of it, because I have Pittsfield as a city. It's a gateway city. North Adams is a small city, and then I have middle-sized towns all the way down to towns of 120 people. So it's a lot to balance a lot of competing interests and try to do your best to make sure everyone wins. And
Yeah.
so when I'm with my House members, they'll make comments. These are the ones out of the Berkshires too, because I have three out of the Berkshires. I have six total, and they'll say, all but Tricia will say, "Well, we don't like gateway cities." And I'm like, "Wait a second, we like gateway cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we want to make sure rural communities get."
Folks, for those that are listening, Senator Mark is remote. So he does break up a little bit. We're going to take a little bit of a break. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back in just a minute with Senator Paul Martin.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
It's time for the WTBR Jobs Board, supported by Hillcrest Educational Centers. Hillcrest is now offering a direct care starting salary of $21 to $24 per hour. For more information or to see open career opportunities, go to hillcrestec.org/careers. Greylock Federal Credit Union is now hiring for bilingual employees to fill multiple different positions. Salaries start at $16.50 per hour. Visit greylock.org/careers today to learn more. Greylock Federal Credit Union, equal opportunity employer. Berkshire Community College is looking for bold academic leaders who want to become part of a dynamic team. If you want to help transform the lives of their students, go to berkshirecc.edu/employment to see their available opportunities. The WTBR Jobs Board is supported by Hillcrest Educational Centers, now hiring residential direct care positions at their locations in Pittsfield, Lenox, and Great Barrington. Contact Gail at 413-499-7924, extension 113.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back, and with my, I'm so happy to have with me today, Senator Paul Mark. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. God bless America. And I've traveled all over the world, and I've been in some wonderful countries in Europe, and but there's no place like America. And so for all those people who find everything wrong with America, I know there's a bunch of other countries looking to have people move there. Paul, the legislature is, you think we'll get a budget then?
Yeah. We'll get a budget definitely during, I assume during July. We'll definitely keep all operations running regardless.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
But I think we're in good shape. And I think we'll have a road funding bill pretty soon. And then I think as we move into the fall, there'll be a lot more policy pieces. The committees are really starting to heat up. There's a lot of bills and a lot of hearings happening right now. Yeah, it's pretty good. The other day I co-chaired the Women's History Trail Commission.
Oh, wow.
I co-chaired the which was an initiative. Gail Caridi was actually the lead sponsor.
Great person.
She was amazing. Yep. And then the Revolution 250th Commission, we're going to have a hearing next week. And that's all part of my responsibilities as chair of tourism, arts, and cultural development. I got to go to the Jacob's Pillow Gala. That was different, wow. But it was awesome.
Wow. Well, I have to say this. Last night, I had the great good fortune of seeing Million Dollar Man at the Colonial. And I must tell you, if you do nothing else this summer, go to the Colonial. It's a short run. I think July 17th. Don't hold me to that. But get tickets. Go. I promise you, especially if you're, I'm going to probably any age, but I'm going to say 40 and up, you're going to love it. It's about Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, and I forgot the other guy's name. You must see it. And Paula, you must see it too. It's an amazing show. I've never had a show go by so fast.
Wow.
It's everything is happening. And the guy that plays Jerry Lee Lewis, he's like Gumby. Really, he has nothing connected. He's playing it with his feet. Let's get back to the show here. One of the things, Paul, too, that in you and all of it have been very, and why I went down that road with Million Dollar Man. And also Cabaret is at Barrington Stage. And Shakespeare, the summer's back, folks. The cultural desert of COVID has ended. And you made me think of it, Paul, when you said Jacob's Pillow, because you remember, as I do, there was nothing.
And it was tough, and there's a worry. This season is make or break for a lot of places. They're really hoping. It's been good.
No, you know what we're doing at the station for small businesses in Pittsfield or wherever, I guess? We're giving 28-minute free interviews.
Nice.
Because, as you said, I had a couple of folks approach me in the spring. I ran it by Sean at the station, and he approved it. And they said, if we don't have a big summer, we won't be here in the fall.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a real worry. And there was a lot of money available to supplement people getting through the tough times. And the state of emergency has officially ended nationally, even. So there's still some residual funding out there, but it's really important. If you are able, and if you are comfortable, and you used to love doing these things, please go back to them, because we need you. The Berkshires needs this. And I'm going to go to Shakespeare and Company. I'm going to see, I think it's a Midsummer's Night Dream. I'm going to go see Cabaret.
You're kind of breaking up again. So I'll just say I'm here with Senator Paul Mark today. It is the 4th of July.
I get to do all this fun stuff.
He's kind of in and out. I guess he's traveling through the district. And
I'm heading down to Great Barrington for an event, and then so it's been spotty right here. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all right. Do you have did Pignatelli get you a visa?
Yes, I have his permission to be there. Definitely. Oh, okay.
Just checking. You know how he gets. I have to applaud one of your smaller towns, Otis.
Mm.
I had the great pleasure and honor, and I was humbled to be asked to give a little talk there on Memorial Day.
Awesome.
And the turnout was heartwarming and sincere. And I thought, you know what? These are real Americans here. They really are. And then you're sitting down, I'm assuming, because you're driving.
Yes.
Okay. They also asked me to speak in Lenox. And I was blown away by the turnout and the mixed generations, kids, young kids, old people like me, people with their family. I couldn't have been more pleased. I just had to say that. Otis, I was blown away. That is Americana. It really is.
No, that's beautiful. That's awesome. And yeah, at the parades this year, I found there was a lot of people back. Similar to what we're talking about with the arts is people getting back out there and paying respects, which is important. And you're making me think of something, because you mentioned Otis, and so you made me think about Knox Trail. So as the chair of the American Revolution 250 Commission, we want to make sure that the celebration, and it's going to kick off really this December with the 250th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, that we include the whole state. And so if you and your veterans circles, or if anyone listening knows about important parts of Revolutionary War history that the Berkshires and Western Massachusetts were involved in, please be in touch, because I want to make sure. And with the chairs being me and my colleague from Amherst on the House side, there's an opportunity to make sure this is actually statewide.
Yeah,
which isn't always the case. And so, if people have history or stories, and there's a gentleman in Otis I got to get in touch with, who I know does a lot of work on the Knox Trail, and a woman at the library gave me his email. I got to reach out to him.
Yeah, and then get it to me, and I'll have him on the show.
Oh, yeah, awesome. That would be great.
Yeah, and as this gets closer, now, one thing I can remember very clearly. At the corner, right at the Park Square, right in front of the art store there, right behind the museum and the art store, there's a big rock and a plaque on it. I will take a picture and send it to you. I believe it was in a tavern there where they planned the Ticonderoga situation.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, see, that's exactly
what I'll take a picture. Plus, it gives me an excuse to go to Patrick's.
Nice.
I'm gonna. No, I'll just tell the Polish princess. Paul wants a picture of this. I gotta go up there. But no, I'm glad it's a statewide. I'm glad it's a statewide initiative, because there's a lot. As I was telling the audience, Paul is traveling to Great Barrington, and he was gracious enough to do the show. And we're recording this on the Friday, June 30th, believe it or not.
Oh, you.
You there? Well, I'm sorry, folks, but we're doing the best we can. I thought it was really important to have Senator Mark.
End of the month. Yeah, I hear you again, and
good. At least people
know I'm actually working.
I have to say this. He does work. I mean, he's got a district. I don't know if you get, it's one thing to get mileage. They should just give you cars, you know?
Yes, they should.
I mean, and what, I guess I have to ask this. We're running close because I promised I'd get you out and do my announcements, which I how close are we to rail to Boston?
Oh, I think we're in good shape. The governor just announced her capital plan for the next 5 years, yeah. And the Pittsfield station money is on it. That's big.
Well, that is big. Oh, yeah. Breaking news. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That just happened in the last week. So she's committed to it. That's a great sign.
Yeah. Because you know far better than I go to Boston for healthcare reasons.
Yep.
But that I used to drive back and forth every day for like 3 years. But that it's gotten so much worse. Oh God.
Oh yeah. The traffic's horrible. It's horrible.
It is horrible. And I'll tell you, if you had a train, I'd be on that bad boy in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. The goal is to get at least a start. Service that you can go to Boston and come back in the same day and vice versa, you know?
Yeah. And how about the flyer to New York now? I guess that's cranked up again, or it is going to be.
Yeah, that's up and running. That's good to go this year. And I believe next year as well. There's some kind of a discussion with the rail operators about, but it's funded, I know, for at least another year.
You know, I'll tell you, hats off to you and Adam Hines and all the people that were behind making that happen.
Yeah, that was Adam's thing. He really cared about it. There's a guy, Eddie, in town that had this idea long time ago, and Adam really jumped on it and stuck with it. And I give him credit for getting it done. It's not easy to get things done like that.
No. And Richie Neal's behind it, too.
Yeah, I mean, when Richie was the chair of Ways and Means, that gave us access to some clout and some money for sure.
Yeah, and I hopefully, what do you think, just in closing, what will be the most challenging things over the next, I'm going to say, 3 to 5 years?
Well, I think there's the ongoing, coming out of COVID, making sure now that we've survived, that everyone's surviving. I saw a report that opioid overdoses went way up in Massachusetts. It did not go up in Berkshire, Franklin County, which was great because we've been, I think, doing good work with our task forces out here and with Narcan distribution. So, you know, getting a hold on what was the damage now, having that assessment. Obviously, we always have to watch at a state level revenue, how things are changing, what goes on down in Washington. There's going to be a presidential election, and that's gonna be a big thing next year. So that's going to have an impact. You know?
Scary. It's to me. Not, I don't want to say scary. To me, people have to vote. That's all I'm going to say. Don't come whining and crying after if you haven't voted.
Don't take it for granted. Exactly. No. If you care, if you feel passionately about somebody, get involved.
And the other piece is this too. And I use this. If you don't vote and you go into a cemetery and you see all those flags, just say, I'm sorry. Because a lot of them put their lives on the line and some of them lost their lives so that you could vote and you couldn't find 15 minutes to vote. I have a very short temper, Paul. I'm sorry.
Well, especially now because there's the early voting, there's the mail-in voting, there's a really very limited excuse.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost you could walk by the place and vote. You know, I mean, it's, Paul, I can't thank you enough for doing this. And I wish you and yours a wonderful 4th of July. And I will be in front of St. Joseph's Church in the shade near the food and the restrooms. I'm ready. I'm settled in. Don't come messing with me there because. all kidding aside, I wish you the very best. I'm always here. I will take that picture of that and I will get it to you because I've read it 100 times. And there's another one that very stuck away. It has nothing to do with the revolution, about one of the first Catholic churches. But
interesting.
I'll get it to you. You decide what you want to do with it.
That sounds great.
I'm gonna let the senator go because I have announcements galore. Hey, and what a week, Paul. What a week's coming up. We've got, it's just not the 4th of July parade anymore. It's a ton of stuff.
Nice.
Starting tomorrow with the Saturday, because we're recording this, folks, on Friday. Starting tomorrow with the Farmer's Market. So, and then there's games with the Suns, and it's going to be a big time in the Pittsfield area. Paul, Mark, thank you for coming on. Thank you for all that you do. And I mean this, I kid around a lot, but I mean this very sincerely. Thank you for all that you do for all of us.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your service. Thank you for doing this show. And happy Independence Day. I look forward to seeing you at the parade. And I hope everyone has a really great weekend and all of that.
I'll tell you, you know where to find me in front of the porta potty there in front of St. John.
I'll give you a wave.
Paul, Mark, thank you for this. Folks, stay tuned. I'm going to read some announcements.
All right.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks a million, buddy. All right. As I mentioned, Cabaret, there's playing down at the Barrington Stage Company. It is an amazing, but get to it because it's ending July 8th. It's ending July 8th. So get down and see Cabaret. The Berkshire County Historical Society to present rewritten stories of women central to Melville and Hawthorne, a new focus. This to me is really a great opportunity. Performances are July 13th through the 16th at 7:30. And you can find out more at the Berkshire Historical Society. And let me see if they gave me a number here. They did. And she's Leslie Hertzberg. 413-442-1793, extension 10. And mention you heard it on the show. That helps us get the word out. There's just really, really a lot of things going on. There is a retirement party for our police chief, Michael Wynn, is retiring. And they're having a party for him. Excuse me. In honor of Chief Wynn, Sunday, July 9th, Proprietor's Lodge. And you can find out more about that by dialing Brittany at 448-9700, extension 717. Chief Wynn has been a great asset to the city. He's a wonderful guy, and I wish him all the best. I really, really wish him all the best. Baseball has been around the Berkshires for a long time, at least for some game played for centuries. But there's a couple of things going on. Larry Moore, director of Baseball in the Berkshires, that's at the Stationery Factory. Let me try to get the rest of this. The exhibit will open Thursday through Sunday, from 12 to 6 p.m. And I'm assuming that was yesterday, but there's no dates. But find out more. You can do this, 413-822-6738. Okay. This is really good for us in the station. It really, really, really is. Two of our programs won a national award, and they were Backstory, Let's Hear It, produced by Roberta McCulloch-Dews, and Berkshire Sports Now, hosted by Robbie Zucker and Sean Cronin. And congratulations. That's a national award. We should be very, very happy about that. Coming up, you betcha, one of my favorites, the Polish Picnic, Sunday, July 16th, 12 noon to 5 p.m. It's back. COVID's over. The Polish Picnic. Polish food, kielbasa, kapusta, galumki, pierogi. American food, hot dogs, hamburgers, and dessert beverages of all sorts. Frozen Polish food will be available beginning at 9 a.m. And this is it's really an opportunity to go. The Eddie Foreman Orchestra will be performing for your dancing and listening pleasure from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. The grounds open at 11:30 a.m. There we go. Also coming up, the volunteer fair, July the 12th, Berkshire Innovation Center teaming up with Leanna Not-for-Profit Center, with Leanna Tuscany, and from the Not-Profit Center of the Berkshires, and Brenda Patel from the United Way. This is a wonderful opportunity of coming out. And Leanna wrote this. I think this is, I must read this. Coming out of isolation, pandemic, volunteering can help people reestablish connections and find a sense of purpose and happiness, says Leanna Tuscany, executive director of the Nonprofit Center Berkshires. And because of staffing shortages, volunteers are needed now more than ever. I have to do a kind of a, there's a lot of stuff coming up for the 4th of July week. There's the arts down at the Old Eaton's Paper, the Eagle Building, Artist Colony down there. It's wonderful. But recently I was awarded an award for contribution by the United Cerebral Palsies of Western Mass. And the Eagle kindly and wonderfully put it in the paper. I don't volunteer for notoriety. I volunteer, and that's kind of what I'm trying to say about this volunteer day. You get more out of it, believe me, than you give to it. And I'm honored and privileged that I have won that award. I really am. And I want to thank Kevin Moran and the people at the Eagle, Judge Fred Rutberg, for putting that article in. It was certainly unexpected, and I'm very honored and very proud of all the people that I work with. And most especially, I couldn't do any of this without my wife, Roseanne, a.k.a. the Polish Princess. And I mean that. That's it. Happy 4th. Enjoy. Please, please, please watch your drinking and driving. In fact, don't drink and don't drive. If you drink, get somebody else to drive. Don't ruin somebody, your own, or someone else's 4th of July. Be well. God bless America. And God bless you. And remember, for the 4th, do something for somebody. Bye-bye.